Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Well, I could do Northern. I could do, as you're on the subject of Liverpool, I can do Liverpool next.
Yeah, do Liverpool. Let's go for it. Yeah.
So, the obvious, You'll Never Walk Alone.
Sure.
It's a song that's been with Liverpool for as long as it's been. It's not Liverpool's origine. Everyone argues over the origin, but before you get any people messaging you, it's not Liverpool's origine. I don't even think it's Celtic's origine. I think it's something really random. Anyway, there it is. Journey Pacemakers, You Never Walk Alone. And it's been brought back a lot. Like, Brendan Rodgers made a really good decision. He's like, let the players go on the pitch and then sing it. I remember being at a game once and Kevin Keegan shouting at the crowd for not singing it well enough. Like, really? So there's a bit of a like, misty-eyed history about it. But it's came and went and is an anthem, I think, that's been with the club I support through the worst moments and the best. There's been great moments, like when we played Celtic in the UEFA Cup and the whole ground sang it. The moment when we played Borussia Dortmund, when Klopp was still there, and everybody sang it together, and they sang it as well. So you had the yellow wall, and you had the Liverpool fans all singing. It's amazing. Two times I've heard it, it's blown my mind. Once, when I went to Graceland, and you go... Graceland's weird, actually, right? So I was... You talked about records growing up. One of the first things I got was a Reader's Digest in a charity shop, six Elvis records, and you stuck them in the wall and they formed a big Elvis. And I lived off those albums. Yeah. I played them until I couldn't play them anymore, until they broke, scraped, wrecked, and I just loved Elvis. And you go to Graceland, it looks really commercial and you're going to hate it. And then they cross over the road and you go into Graceland itself. And it's quite a personal experience. There's never that many people around you. You see his house, that's all right. You go out and see where he died, the piano and the squash court. But then you go to where he's buried with his mum and dad, and it's playing You'll Never Walk Alone. And I didn't know that. If I'm going somewhere, I'm not one of those ones who looks up a menu before I go to a restaurant, not like one of those Herberts. So like, I just discovered it. And I went in, I was playing You'll Never Walk Alone, and it was just like, oh my God. And then the other time I've sang it, I don't know how many times, but... And there's a lot of fables written about this, but this is just the way it happened because I was there as a proper fan. Istanbul, 3-0 down, 2005 European Cup final. Even you know about this time, like greatest comeback in European history. And half-timer, 3-0 down. My mate Nick goes, I think we can win this. And we slapped him and he laughed and he went, only joking. Now he claims he predicted it, but he didn't. They'd sold out of food. They'd sold out of water. It was badly organised. A great day, but it was badly organised. Now, at this stage, it kicks off later in the day because it has to be on TV back home at 7:45 kickoff or 8 o'clock. So we're already 2 hours ahead of that. So it's midnight. Everybody's fucked. Oh, wow. Everyone's now hungover.
Yeah.
Right? And you're 3-0 down. That sobers you up. And it just started. And by the way, this whole people left. There's a guy who cashes in every time. They want to talk to the guy who left. I don't know anyone that left. Nobody left near me. Maybe corporate seats left. And it started and it just spread around, You Never Walk Alone. But it wasn't just You'll Never Walk Alone. It was When You Walk Through a Storm. That's how it started, the whole song. And that's rare. I only hear the full song when it's played over the speaker system at Anfield and everyone's the whole fucking song. And Carragher told me that in the dressing room when they were trying to create some sort of backbone, some sort of, like, how do you close off what just happened? It was one, not the moment, but it was one of the moments that they heard that. The 12th man, to a certain extent, is a myth. People talk about how the crowd sometimes suck the ball into the net. That's hindsight and romanticism. Team win it on the pitch. Great players win it on the pitch. Luck wins on the pitch. Bad refereeing decisions. The 12th man was a thing. We'd never have lost to Switzerland in the playoffs. So But that is a good example of where actually the fans made the players think that's why we're here. And they didn't go, we can win this. It wasn't like Escape the Victory, you know, that film with Sylvester Stallone. They weren't trying to escape through the sunken bath. Yeah, and then someone went, John Wark went, we can win this.
Yep.
And out they came. It was tactical change, 3-5-2, bring Haman on. There was loads happened. But one of the things was that. One thing was the tactical change in how Haman played in that second half. One of them was always Steven Gerrard. The other thing was they saw, I don't know if it's Gattuso, but one of their players, when they walked back out, touched the trophy. And it riled a few of the Liverpool players who were like, fuck, do you think you are touching it? It's half time. Anyway, rest is history. But that moment was just, loved that. And it gets back to what I'm saying. It was like, we're here to support the team. And all day it felt like our name was in the trophy. We got the final 2 years later and it never felt like we're going to win. We only got beat 2-1. Never felt that day like we're going to win. I remember talking to mates going, this is shit. This is nothing like what it was like in Istanbul. But that day it was like a rite of passage. We will win this. The Ataturk is in a weird place and you come through almost desert to get to it. It was not desert, it was wasteland. And it was like a stream of red coming up. It was almost like the whole day was like a rite of passage. And that you'll never walk alone moment. We didn't sing that and go, we're going to win this. No. Bollocks, anyone that tells you that. It's been totally misrepresented. But that was a great singing of an anthem that means more to a team than just football, you know? Yeah. And it is there and has been there through the worst times and the best times. But that singing of it was amazing. That and Elvis. This is a more straightforward one on my list, isn't it? Yeah. But it's probably the most sporting one I have on the list.
It's also the one that I can immediately say, I've heard that. And it's that sort of anthem that is probably perfect for crowds, isn't it?
I don't think it matters.
It's not... there's a degree of like tone or tempo change in it that the crowd has to sing along through, but it's just beautiful. It sounds great. I'm sure you can bellow that out pretty. You can bellow that out as a note with everyone,
sounding
amazing.
Team you support that song just cuts through, you, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's unless you're a United fan or an Everton fan, you probably hate that. Turn the radio over. It's just like it's interesting because one of the Elvis Glory Glory Hallelujah. That's the United song. Just skip that one.
So I'm going to ask you. Why you're here, because on one of the episodes of Blood on the Tracks, I too am a big Elvis fan, and you asked your guests what cover
type of Elvis cover?
What would yours have been?
Well,
good
there
question,
is.
Stu.
I wonder, am I allowed to say this? Probably. Okay, so there is another episode of Blood on the Tracks.
Okay.
We had to record we didn't have to at all. That was why I'm so proud of it. Me and Simon and I, fucking hell, said, let's go and make this program and don't take it near any radio station. Let's make it first. Let's not go and have meetings. And let's just literally go, do you want it?
Yeah.
We sent it to a couple of radio stations and Radio 2 took it. So we made an off-air episode with Jimmy White. No, hold on. Let me get it right. One Jimmy White. I've got to go through it. Stuart Pearce. Bob Mills.
Dream guest, Bob Mills.
Stuart Pearce. Bob Mills. Liz Kershaw. I need to remember this. I cannot not have the last person. Give me one sec.
I mean, that's a pretty solid lineup so far.
I'm not recognising half of these names, so I'm assuming
in
these
Bebemont are...
Jimmy White,
Bob
snooker
Mills.
Legend. One of the best autobiographies ever.
Jimmy, yeah. Bob Mills. Who's Bob?
Bob
that's
Mills,
the guy I'm not
funny comedian, but also big sports music
really?
Fan.
In Bebemont Dinner was one of the greatest shows on TV ever.
And then, what was the other one I said? Stuart Pearce, Liz Kershaw. Bob Mills, and this feels so bad. I can't remember the last. Oh my God! You never guess who it is. Scroob. Who's Scroob? Oh no! He's gonna be listening to this. Because Scroob couldn't do any of the four episodes because I wanted everyone that was on the pilot to be on the episodes.
Oh, that's so sound like it's set up.
Oh my God!
That's
set like up. We all planned this, conspired to go. Who's that other guy? Oh,
the choices were unbelievable. Yeah. But Scroob, I think, Scroob picked the right answer, which is Purple Rain by Prince. Mm. And always, and I've never come up with a better one than that. I think that's good. But the weirdest one, so what happened in that is we had an Elvis impersonator come in for the pilot, and we went, if only Elvis, and he came in and he sang them.
Nice.
The best one was Stuart Pearce, who went for Carter USM, the only living boy in New Cross. And you're like, what?
The good.
That's
the
never
bad.
And
the
Elvis
average.
Came in and he went, hello, good. And we were like, oh my God, it's amazing. And that's the one that was like the least like obvious one. But I would go Purple Rain by Prince. You just hear Elvis sing that. It's absolutely perfect, Elvis. Hmm. But there's a missing episode of that. The reason why we can't put it out, although we might be able to put it out now, Stuart Pearce was working for a commercial radio station at the time and wasn't allowed to do anything else. So he said, if it's all fair, that's okay. But now you've reminded me of that, I bet you we could put it up on iTunes.
Yeah.
Or just put it up. Just, I'll just tweet it out as a... Yeah. And what do you call it, SoundCloud?
Yeah.
Just say, there you go, yeah, there's, there's an episode that we made as a pilot. It's funny. It's funny.
Featuring XYZ and some other dude.
Some other, I can't believe it.
I can't remember. So that's fucking brilliant.
So sorry. Right.
It's made our day.
The guy who texted me today for you to get my number and I forgot. Terrible.
Love it.
So yeah, sorry for that obvious one, but you never walk alone, obviously. Probably
no,
sign
I don't,
that one
I don't
out,
think.
But the two moments that I remember, it was that.
It's not about being too cool for school, Colin, like we said, you know.
It's lucky.
How about number two?
A
are we on number two now?
We're on number four.
Well, it's your fourth, but going five, four, three,
they're not in order.
Okay.
Yep. I'm saving...
Who's your fourth?
They're definitely not in order because my favourite was Sweet Caroline and I didn't save it to the end.
Sure. Okay.
Right. So you mentioned Glastonbury, right?
Yeah.
There's a band who are like not ridiculed but are seen as being a novelty band. And a guy called Dougie Anderson, who'd be brilliant at this podcast, by the way. He's a presenter, a filmmaker. He's a really cool guy. Comes on Fight and Talk. Dougie goes, right, come and watch the Proclaimers with me in the main stage. And I'm like, okay. And I go and watch the Proclaimers and they do Sunshine and Neath. And he's a Hibs fan and that's their song they sing because Charlie and Craig are Hibs fans and that's what they sing.
Do you know who the Proclaimers, one of their favourite bands? Scroobius Pip.
Right, you see, it totally makes sense to me. They get a bad rap as being, you know, like 500 miles and, you know, Letter from America. And I've since discovered how good they are.
Yeah.
And Then I Met You is just a beautiful, beautiful love song.
We've talked about that, haven't we?
Yeah, because he's a big... Yes, on that Blood on the Tracks, he picks Then I Met You, and he says the greatest brothers ever to make music are the Reeds.
Yeah.
And he does the Proclaimers, and we talked about it on air. Mm. So they're doing Sunshine Leaf. I look round, and Dougie is in floods of tears, and I'm like, why are you crying? He went, watch this. And he shows me this video. And the Hibs fans sing Sunshine and Leith. And it was in two... I'm going to say... I wrote down a few notes in this, but I've forgotten them. And I've copied the wrong thing. But I think it was 2007. But anyway, don't matter. They win the European Cup in injury time against Rangers, 3-2. 114 years without winning that trophy.
Wow.
114 years. So the best person to tell this story is another person you should have in this podcast, which is Pat Nevin, the coolest footballer ever to walk the planet. We'll DJ together at like Scared to Dance and stuff, which is not far from here, I think, is it? But anyway, so he tells a story. He's on BBC Scotland covering the TV and he's literally like going, shut up, everyone. Just shut up. Just, so he's like, get the mic, gets everyone to stop talking and they just show 4.5, 5 minutes of this. And they're singing Sunshine Leaf by the Proclaimers, which may be one of the most beautiful songs ever written. And this is what I'm talking about. We talk about your shit and you know you are. We talk about, you know, and you know, it's like a library. And football's become like a computer game. Mm. Everyone sings the same thing. Put the words in, right? You know, and it's like, no, there are just these beautiful songs. And this crowd, 114 years after, as the team are lifting the trophy, they're not cheering. They've put on Sunshine and Leith. My heart was broken. My heart was broken. Sorrow, 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 sorrow. My heart was broken. My heart was broken. And yeah, I don't want to get it wrong because it'll absolutely kill me. But the lyrics are amazing. You saw it, you claimed it, you touched it, you saved it. Like, while I'm worth my room on this earth, I will wait. I will be with you. While the chief puts Sunshine and Leith. Like, it's about Leith is the, you know, this is them. This is Edinburgh. This is Leith. And as they lift the trophy, the players are singing it and they just go into, there's so many versions of it. The official one I like the best from the TV and they're going through, just grown men in tears.
Yeah.
Kids women.
I've got to watch
and
this.
And they're holding it up and all the scars are up. I have no connection to Hibs. No reason to like them. No connection at all. And that one moment makes me look for Hibs scores. And it's like, it's a game like Johnny Logan. It's like, this is better because it is actually, I get why this song could be your song because it's Sunshine and Leith and I, that, you know, this is my team or my solace and my community. But it doesn't make it any less just absolutely spine tingling. And it is, first time I watch it, I'm like, I'm tearing up and I don't even have anything to do with them. If there's one clip people have to watch from this, it's just put in Hibs, Scottish Cup final, Sunshine and Leith.
Okay.
And it's beautiful because the song itself as well, it is just really powerful, but it's you know, it's da 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 da.
It's a wonderful record.
It's no reason to be in a football ground, this song. You never walk alone, at least as, you know, like when you walk through a storm. Yeah. The lyrics still work for, you know, but this shouldn't, but it does. And it is just a moment in these people's lives. And Adam, if it was me, I'd be thinking about the fact my granda never got to see this and he died. Mm-hmm. My dad never got to see this if he was looking down now. And that's what proper community is. Whether you get that community go through going to gigs with your mates, going to football, that's the problem now with football at the highest level. The community's not there, right? But if I go and see Chester, it's there. And if they're singing something and they win something or lose something, the memories, the grandfather and the father and the mother and the grandmother and the kids. And, you know, like last time we won this, like my, their granda never saw it. Or like, I think they won the league in 57 or something. So like a long gap. And it's just, it's about more than that, you know. Yeah. And I think when you look at the crowd, any, you know, we could go upstairs now into the bar and stop 50 people and they'll all have an amazing story. As good a story as anyone who's in the public eye, anyone who's played football or made a hit album. And I just love that. I love the voyeurism of it. Just watching, why is he crying? Why is she crying? Look at this guy holding his kid. Look at this old man with his son of 40 years old. And that's why it's emotional for me. And that is just stunning. 117 years since they won the Scottish Cup. Win it in injury time and 5, 6, 7 minutes later. And I just love the fact the TV had the sense, stop talking. Just let it go. And that doesn't happen much in football commentary these days. Mm. We don't get enough silence anymore. Just let the pitcher speak for himself. Yeah. It's stunning. It's absolutely the most beautiful thing you'll see.
I think we're going to have to, you sold me on that. I'm going to have to watch it, but we will have to link that into people when we post this out, won't we, I think.
That's Do you have a song
that's a beaut.
That when that you can't listen to? So, well, like, so really Dougie Anderson's with Sunshine Beneath, as soon
really
as that was live, he cried.
Well, we did a podcast crossover with Pip about a month ago.
Who's he?
And it's just some weirdo. And basically, we did like a top five crossover. So we went on Distraction Pieces, here's one. But we did top five songs that make you cry.
Right.
So we were like, we have no idea how that was going to go down or if we'd start welling up. And it was because obviously you can't really play much of each song.
Well, Pip turned up around my garden. We sat in my little shed thing, didn't we? Mm. And he also bought a bottle of gin as well. So if you're going to get teary.
Oh, yeah, Mother's Ruin.
Yeah, we had a
for a podcast like that.
Exactly. Yeah. But what did you have?
What did I have?
Definitely
I had a few strange ones, didn't I? Like Sage Francis, Inherited Scars, and I had...
You had Kate Bush.
Kate Bush. I think that was my number one, wasn't it?
What song?
It was Hounds of Love. Really? It still kills me. I played it the other day. It just done me. Literally done me.
Can you listen to the Future Heads cover? Or is it so bad you can't even listen to...
Do you know what? Weirdly, I don't hate it, but
there was a
Hounds of Love
China Drum that done a cover of Wuthering Heights.
And the start of it goes, hello... Our name's China Drum. And it was for Q Magazine CD.
That's right.
I think it's a brilliant cover.
Was it not Ruby Tracks, the NME thing?
Could have been NME. I definitely got it free.
Yeah.
Two best covers I've ever got free was that China Drum, Wuthering Heights. Yeah. Still own it.
Yeah.
And the other one, do you ever hear Blur did Waterloo Sunset on a thing on Channel 4 called The White Room?
Yep.
And I think the NME or Q gave it away.
Radcliffe used to host it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And we know why they called it The White Room. Let's leave it at that. And watch this. Watch Blur singing this and have a look at Damon Albarn's face. And it is just unbelievable. Yep. That's so funny. China Drum. Hello. We're China Drummer. Our name's China Drum. And off it goes.
What was yours now, mate? I can't remember. You had a few...
Tank Park Slope, Billy
Park
Bragg.
Salute. That was it.
Bust me up.
You had a couple of Billy Braggs on there, didn't you?
Yeah.
He's got a great song about Belfast, you know, called Northern Industrial
Time.
That's
fucking amazing.
On William Bloke. And
William Bloke's got
me.
Brickbat on, which is my other one that bust me up.
Wow.
Don't
go with him to fucking Billy Bragg gig then. That's what we're learning here, isn't it?
He's an Essex boy. We've got to love him. He's one of our own.
I'll tie it back in. At Glastonbury, during one of the World Cups, I was trying to find a TV. I really, really wanted to watch one of the semi-finals. And I found this shitty little TV and there was two old chairs and I sat in the chair and Billy Bragg sat beside me and watched the match.
I do, wasn't it?
Gosh. Yeah. And I was like, I think I played it okay.
Yep.
But like in my head, I'm going, I want to talk to you about your music. But I know he doesn't. He wants to talk about football.
Yeah.
Robert Smith from The Cure. Same when I talk to him.
Pictures of you was in there for
me. He loves football, pies and chips. He'll talk about anything but You know, you get into say, oh, you know, I'm in car. When did you? You know, he's like, no. You know, he'll talk to you about normal things. And he brags about like that.
And us, you mentioned Nick Cave. There's a million and one Nick Cave songs that could be in there. I don't know if I could choose one. Straight to you, does me.
Like, Chip song for me.
Oh, fucking hell.
Kills me. That's on my list. Mine's Have I Told You Lately That I Love You by Van Morrison.
See, and sweet thing.
And that was in one of the Blood on the Tracks. Martin Bashir picked it.
Yeah, he did.
And the actual recording of that is...
You couldn't listen to it. Was that the one?
We played it and I literally... Because what we do is we play it in our headphones, but it doesn't get recorded.
That's right.
And that's why if like Skin from Skunk and Nancy sings along and My Baby Just Cares For Me, we can drop it in after. And the key to playing music, if you want to play music in this podcast, say you wanted to play a clip now, Hounds of Love.
Yeah.
20 seconds in, all I have to do is go... I love this song, and you play another 30 seconds. And then in 29 seconds, just go, I love this song, you play another 30
seconds. Colin Murray, thank you very much.
Yeah. So it's uninterrupted 30 seconds.
Is that the actual law?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So that's how we got away with Blood on the Tracks, playing most, we put little clips in.
Because we've really wanted to do that.
That song, so it's in our headphones, and it gets started from the start when he finishes the line, and I'm like, stop. And we stopped the record. So I'm like, not being drama. I'm just, I won't be able to do the show. So it was when my granddad died, it was the track Leaving the Hospital. And it was the first thing. And it was like, it's gone for me.
Yeah.
And did this. And I remember I cut that episode. So Simon and I split the editing. And I had to edit that episode together. And oh my God. Like, I was like, I'll be all right. I'm just cutting 30 seconds, shutting a bit over. And even just having to hear the Have I Told You Lately, gone. Editing it just floods of tears, and it's funny, like it's like you say, behind yourself, I can't get away from it. I can't get through the song. I'll never be able to. I'd say like in I don't know how long it is now, 15 years whatever, but it's like I've maybe heard it three or four times, and that was one of them. And it It just has to go.
I couldn't
go and see Van Morrison live.
I don't think I could
yeah, you listen just, to it, you know,
spoil the rest of the gig now, and that might be coming soon.
And Fake Plastic Trees gets me by Radiohead still. Right. If I could be who you wanted all the time, absolutely. Just the last bit of it's just broken glass to me. So, it's funny, isn't it?
I saw them at Victoria Park when third album came out. What was the third? No, fourth album.
Third album was OK Computer.
No, the one after that.
Amnesiac.
And they finished. And now sometimes when you just get drunk, but you're not... so fucked you can't enjoy it, and you're not like, oh, I could have another beer. Sometimes you just get it right, and it was just perfect.
Oh, yes. And when you're just right on the edge of what you need to be. The best gigs you ever go to.
Absolutely.
When you're so close to being fucked, but you're not.
Yeah. That's the one.
Oh, man.
And, like, and I was just walking that line, and they come back out for the encore and just started Fake Plastic Trees. And by the time it kind of drops sort of three quarters of the way through, where it starts to build... Yeah. Everywhere I looked was just fucking bottom lips trembling everywhere. And it was, I just turned around and my mate Nick was like, and I was like, oh mate, and it was, oh, it was beautiful.
My one of that was Leeds 2001, and Granddaddy and Flaming Lips were playing back to back, and Flaming Lips are in my, I don't have a top five, but I suppose I probably would have, was forced to be in there. And I was just dead in the water, like, you know, when you're just right, you know, I'm not going to make this, I'm absolutely spannered.
What song?
So I got Granddaddy okay, and then like I was like, I'm gone.
But did
here.
They play
and
his went pilot? Out, his simp.
You know what? I went out sort of 10 minutes, and then just perfect. Like I was just perfect, and I went in. I couldn't have been any more on the edge of oblivion, but wasn't in oblivion. And it's still the best time I've ever seen. Apart from the Troxy, that was amazing when I played here.
Wow.
But they did Somewhere Over the Rainbow into Waiting for a Superman. That's a song that kills me. That is a song that absolutely gets back. Do you know why he wrote that song? And I apologise, Wayne, if you hear this and I've got this wrong, but I also apologise, I'm not allowed to tell the story, but I did a session with him and they tried to do that because I just adore that song, and they stopped halfway through and we never put it out. It was what, I think it's what Wayne Coyne's brother told him. Like, it's about when Wayne Coyne was walking with his brother and his brother told him his dad had died. Wow. Something like that, or like, you know, his mum died or his dad had died or his uncle had died. It was a death moment, and it was him being told that somebody had died. It was his brother telling him. And so for the sake of this being on public record, it was someone in his family telling him about someone who had passed away that he loved. And I think it was his brother telling him about his dad, but I don't know for sure. And now listen to that song. You know, I just think that lyric is one, we talk about no one else would write that lyric. But is it overwhelming to use a crane to crush a fly? It's a good time for Superman to lift the sun into the sky.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
Yeah, that album.
That kills me, that.
The whole album's incredible. And it was one of them bands that kind of, when you kind of, we heard him in the indie clubs when it, like, She Don't Use Jelly come out, yeah. And it was like, oh, this is good.
Then that was it,
like,
for me, and then went back.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then when Softball come out, it was like, and it, I just remember, like, putting it on for the first time, and it was Spoonful Weighs a Ton.
Yeah.
When I first heard that, I was like,
unbelievable.
To me, that's Pet Sounds. That's Pet Sounds now.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, but I still think, is it that album's Transmissions from the Satellite Heart?
Yep.
Is genius, and yeah. Because God, You Don't Use Jelly, that's supposed to be my head. What a yep. fucking tune that is. Yep. That's why I like DJing at Skirt the Dance Club, because I can play it and people know it.
Yeah,
not many of those clubs left.
So,
I once beat him at table tennis, right? Wayne Coyne, nicest guy you'll ever meet, and then it was at a festival called Witness Stroke Oxygen, they changed the name. In Ireland.
And you're telling him he's got to surf for that side. You're telling him the rules and you don't want to lose, right?
But he was on it. He knew the fucking rules, right? And I played him and I beat him, I think, like 21-18. And he threw the bat into the net. Fuck! He was worse than me, right? And it was brilliant. But he genuinely was pissed off that I beat him. Yeah. Genuinely pissed off I beat him. But I've been on, I've done the thing you address as an animal with him on stage. I've done that.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, did that at that festival the day I beat him at table tennis. But it was weird. She couldn't hear properly. And all the roadies said to me was, stay away from the dolphin costume. I was like, why? And they went, Justin Timberlake wore that. They hated that. They hated the fact Justin Timberlake was on stage with him. And they were like, stay clear of that one. For whatever reason, they might have pissed in it or something. But yeah, I've seen him so many times. And you know, one thing I hate about myself is, in the last 3 or 4 years, I've just stopped going to gigs more.
Right.
I'm shit at it. It's like, I've just realised, like, it's like today, I was like, right, fuck it, I'm going to gig this week. Didn't even know the Rolling Stones were playing, and then I find they're playing, and then I'm like, Ronnie Wood, brilliant, all those snooker stores are coming. But yeah, Flaming Lips, why did we get on to this? Songs Make You Cry.
Songs Make You Cry.
Yeah, Flaming Lips, and then being pissed to the edge of oblivion.
Yeah.
But not over the line. Best moments.
I didn't know if I'd have five, and then literally as soon as they come on, I just start weeping. I'm like, okay, this was not a difficult top five to do, really.
But do you realise that's me as well?
It does a wee bit.
There's Chet Baker,
Let's Get Lost. That's bad. That's not bad for me, but it definitely makes me a bit emotional. I get into jazz and everyone will really tune off. You've done football, jazz and the Eurovision, the three no's of all podcasts.
But it's not necessarily got to be
something. Alice was like jazz, didn't they?
I threw in Up the Junction by Squeeze, which you think is one of the saddest songs ever written. And it's like, and it's the most upbeat. But then again, most of Smith stuff's really upbeat and super joyful.
There's a great top five someone should do. Happy songs that are really fucked up. So, like, almost any Kenny Rogers hit.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Coward of the County, crazy song. I mean, it's the darkest song you'll ever hear. Ruby Don't Take Your Love to Town. Yeah. This guy wrote the darkest shit and turned them into, you painted up your lips and held your tinted hair. Granny's singing along to this. Yeah. If I could walk, I'd take a gun and put him in the ground. You know, like, you know, they locked the door and, you know, they had their way with Becky and there was four of them or three of them. Like, it is unbelievable, his stuff.
That's pretty dark. I never really...
Really dark.
Don't that.
I tell you what gets me. Johnny Cash, Cover of Hurt. But just for being a Johnny Cash fan, and Paul McNamee, who we did a magazine with, he got me into Johnny Cash. I was in the Tom Waits, he was into Johnny Cash, and we used to argue about it. But anyway, he got me into Johnny Cash. And when I went to his museum in Nashville, they have the video at the end, and the video recorded when he knew he was going to die, like he knew this was it. And that snarled face looking at you on its last legs and just singing those words down there. Unbelievable.
That's pretty powerful.
I don't think that would drop any grown man now. it's a powerful bit of video.
It'd make
now.
Boris Johnson cry.
So where are we at?
We're at four.
The last one.
It's definitely not top spot. I've actually thrown it in
for more
of a reason to talk about music.
Sure.
So I worked in the 2012 Olympics and I'm an Olympic nerd. And I made a documentary before that, which BBC Five Live set a price. That's what you're getting paid to make it. And I was like, all right, I'll make a couple of quid a day. I think I ended up making £26 a day. It took that long to make. And it was like being back in the YTP. It was brilliant. And my thing was, there's 114 living British Olympic gold medalists, and I want to meet as many as I can.
Wow.
And I made this 7-hour documentary. I met 113 out of 114. Steve Ovett just wouldn't do it. And the journey was...
Why not?
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, he's awkward, right? He thinks you're going to talk about coal. You think he's going to be all about
that?
He
still won't do that. Like, is he still that funny?
Well, I sent him an email. I said, look, I got your email off Daily Thompson. I know you don't do these. I'll come anywhere in the world. And I just want to interview you for even 15 minutes. I'm making this documentary the only one. It's not an All Our Yesterdays type of interview. That's not what this doc is. I want people listening to it in 50 years and go, that was the history of our Olympic success. And he emailed me back and he said, sorry, I don't do those All Our Yesterdays interviews. And I'd literally written an email saying, it's not that.
Yeah.
So I did a very Irish thing. I left it, let it build up inside me, the anger, drank a bottle of rye, and then sent him the worst email. And then the other thing. Yeah, fuck. To this day, I regret. And you know, I never want to meet him. It made the documentary kind of work in a way.
Yeah.
And yeah, so anyway, covered the Olympics for Five Live, and it was just the greatest privilege I've ever had.
Yeah, I mean, it was one hell of a year.
And
right?
London turned completely positive. Listen, I don't want London to be completely positive all the time. I love this city. It's my city now. I've been here for so long. But it was the most amazing few weeks. And when Chris Hoy won, you know, his sixth gold medal, I think it was. He won a sixth gold medal. And I covered it for Five Live with Simon Brotherton. And so it was like... Scotland's most successful Olympian, Britain, first athlete to win three gold medals in an Olympic Games since like 1908, most successful cyclist we'd ever had in Olympic history, and the six gold medals, more Olympic medals than anybody else. So he beat Steve Redgraves five, and we had him there four. Anyway, whatever, he sort of broke the records. And Paul McCartney, old thumbs aloft, was there, and he was up in the hang, and he started singing Hey Jude, and the whole velodrome joined in and sang Hey Jude. The whole place, hey
Jude.
And I think it's the only time I haven't resented people singing Hey Jude.
Yeah.
Because I'm a Beatles fan.
Yeah.
And why does Paul McCartney, every time he plays live at everything, play Hey Jude?
Yeah.
And sometimes he'll throw in Let It Be.
Yeah.
And maybe one other.
Yeah.
Right? Lady Madonna.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you, Paul?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You should have rocked up the Queen's Jubilee and played Rocky Raccoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got the selection.
You need to start playing other songs. Yeah. And it was the only time I didn't go, oh, for fuck's sake, he's singing Let It Be again. Sorry, he's singing Hey Jude again. It was a lovely moment. It was a very British moment. You know, it was a very kind of like, he's won the sixth. Here we go, Rule Britannia. Everyone sings Let It Be. But it was beautiful. It was brilliant. And it was, and it kind of laugh. I want to bring it in as a different one because actually I hate when people sing Hey Jude. I hate it. He always sings it. You watch anything he plays that he sings.
Do you know what?
It.
That's bang on the money.
Live right. It.
Yeah.
He did the same thing. Hey, Jude. Everyone loves that. No, Paul. Get up there on that fucking stage and sing I'm So Tired.
Yeah.
Do Revolution. Do anything you can do in your
life. Hell, Skelter. Fucking drop it.
Yeah, he does that the odd time.
Yeah.
But not enough.
Yeah.
Come on, my man. Get up there and do it. You know, you think of what he could do. That I'm trying to, because he obviously got to think of the ones he sings.
Yeah.
So we could do
Golden Slumbers.
He could do In Your Broken Sing.
Yeah.
Is that your favourite?
Golden Slumbers.
Golden Slumbers.
No, he couldn't do Your Broken Sing. Could he? Tell me. Yeah, he could. He could. He'd have to have a different backing. No, he couldn't really. That's more Lennon. Mm. But he's got fucking choices. Stop singing the ballads, my man. Greatest band ever walked the earth, and all you do is sing fucking
the same ones.
I've tried not to swear in this podcast. I've dropped about 20 in this.
We swear away.
Singing A Jude.
Yeah.
And so that was more of a kind of weird moment for it to happen. And he was there. I've never done it when he was there. But of course, his two thumbs went up. That's what he does all the time, his thumbs up. But I had the most. So when he brought an album out and he did an interview with me in the Peel slot, he came in and brought the keyboard and I brought mine in actually. And then he played some stuff and did an interview and it was amazing for me. Like, I remember my 16th birthday coming down the stairs and it was a balloon that said 16 on it and the White Album. That was the first time I'd properly listened to White Album. And my mum was like, you need to properly listen to this album. And that's why I'll argue anyone the White Album is the greatest Beatles album of all time, because it has like a million different sounds on it and it's an education more. I get why Revolver is a more enjoyable album, but that's the best Beatles album for me. Anyway, what would you say your best Beatles album is? I'd have to say the best of the Beatles. So anyway, I remember getting that changed back. So anyway, Cohen Ryan McCartney's a really nice guy and he wrote a birthday card to my mum and stuff like that, which was amazing for her. She got it for her birthday and she still has it framed. But anyway, I had him in. And I'm very honest in interviews. I got in trouble with Radiohead once because I was interviewing them and they were like, it was when what album was it that came out? Oh, I can't remember. It could have been OK Computer. But anyway, doing this interview and they're talking about the set list and I'm like, I think that's a really good set list. You've got to play songs that like are big songs. But I was like, do you know what? I'm not coming to see you anymore to hear Karma Police. And they dropped it from the set. And then an interview said they dropped it because I said it in the interview and I got like hate mail from all over the world.
Oh, that's ridiculous,
on a world
man.
Tour. But McCartney, I'll be honest, in interviews with people, and I'd said to him about, he'd asked me about the album, I'd been like, that's naff, but this is good, and this is actually quite a good tune, and stuff like that. And this guy who looks after, funny enough, Radiohead and the Beatles, he used to look after both of them, a guy called Kevin McCabe. And I hate people that say, a guy called, by the way. The only time, wankers say that, why did I say that? The only time it works is a guy called Gerald. Yeah. That's the only time I say it. Anyway, so he rings me and he goes, can you come outside? There's a Range Rover or whatever outside, just get in the back. I'm like, what? He goes, just fucking do it.
So don't do that.
He looked after Sigur Rós as well. So what a band. Anyway, so I come out to get in the back and it's him and Paul McCartney. So like, I'll go back to being like a kid who got the White Album for his 16th birthday. I'm now in the back of a random car and Paul and he goes, hey lads. Can't do the accent very well. Have a listen to these three remixes and tell me which one you like. And I sat there and he put three remixes as a single. And I finished and I went, first one's terrible. Second one's good. Third one tries too hard, but you could go with it if you like, but just don't go with the first one. I went, thanks, lad. And I got out. That was it. Went back into work, sat at my desk.
Right.
It's random.
Fucking hell. Yeah.
But I like him a lot. I just wish he'd stop playing Hey Jude.
Yeah.
That's you know? Crazy. What a cool story.
Yeah.
I think that in journalism or just as a broadcaster or presenter, Colin, that's sometimes I don't like it when I feel that what also I love about podcasts is we can be as honest as we want here. There's no one really pulling our strings.
Yeah.
And yet it could be so easy to be sycophantic in what you do, right? Because you've got people on left, right and centre. So being honest must be like gold dust.
That documentary made about the Olympics, the guy called Nick Etherton made it with me, and he was actually from TV, but he was an Olympic nerd and he wanted to make it with me, so we were like two Olympic nuts together. And I remember about five interviews in, he sat down and he went, so you ready for today? It was we're interviewing Adrian Moorhouse or something, and he went, show me what you've got. And he went, good. And he went, can I ask you a question? Do you ever fucking watch it? And I went, what? And he went, have you watched him win gold? And I went, no. Watch it. What did you notice? Well, this and that. Watch it again. Watched it. And he goes, what's different? I went, oh, he's wearing a white T-shirt. And then no one else is. He's coming out with a T-shirt. He's like, ask him about that. And it's the little things. Mm. And I learned a lot from that and got much better as an interviewer. It's like, pick a little thing. They're not expecting it, so automatically it puts them out of the media training if they've had any. But more importantly, it's like he went, nah, there was no reason for that, but I had lucky shorts. And I lost 2 years before in the Worlds or whatever, and I cut them up. And all of a sudden, and then the next question is actually about his mentality. And the next question, and all of a sudden, you've got something that you never thought you would get. There is that, and it's like you're right. Podcast has opened this up. I could not have done at home for Five Live on Five Live. They run half an hour of it. Mm. I couldn't have done it. They're not going to put out the Dan Hardy stuff, and that was hard to get through. And we got half of it on air. Or the one I'm most proud of is the Chris Akabusi one that went out a few weeks ago. it's just like, I'll never do an interview like that again. Like, I've never, everyone's like, it was funny, I was driving to it, and anyone listening now, and it's not me being arrogant, anyone listening, I'll go, you're bang right with this. I remember everyone's expecting it to be Chris Akabusi, right? Come on, my man, yeah.
Which I thought he
like played play it in slow
tracks.
Motion.
He seemed very lively on Blood.
Well, listen to this. So he invites me into his house. I remember driving her, and I don't know why, but I had this fucking pit in my stomach feeling that something was going to happen. There was something about that day, I don't know what it was, and we got one question in, and I just went, right, you know what, I'm just getting rid of every note I have. I'm just going to talk about what's in this room, because the room was like everything about his life in the room. And we got into lost fathers, being rejected by fathers, and when he was in the orphanage, and he was giving me the whole, like, I had a good time in it. And I was like, Chris, I'm not buying that, mate. You can't be rejected by your family. And he just, for some reason, we just come off air. We forget we're on air, and we chat about how I grew up and the experiences that I had, which were nowhere near as severe as him, but the same abandonment with family. And, like, he talked about how he can't fall in love, and like he doesn't know how to love properly, and he doesn't know how to love his kids. And I was talking about having therapy and how it changed and allowed me to do it. And he was like, yeah, but I don't want to have therapy now. I'm 60. It could ruin my... It is the most honest chat I've ever had with anyone. And I will love that guy forever for that, because I the only time I've ever done it is at home. I say to him, I'll send it to you, have a listen, anything you want out. And the whole time I've made it, one comment has been taken out, and that was actually something that Michael Carrick played to his wife, and his wife went, I want that out, and it was something stupid.
Fair enough,
take it out. No one's ever taken anything out, and I sent him that, and he went, let it all run. And funny enough,
that's brave.
Well, I made a deal with Five Live. I said, look, I'm only sending this if it doesn't get clipped up and played. I don't want to hear it played for a minute.
Pops. Yeah.
And somebody then go, sure. I don't want to hear it for a minute, and then someone have a debate on, I want it to sit as it is, this half an hour of, fuck, have we just had that conversation? And it's like, I grew up in an era where you'd watch someone be interviewed or listen to someone interviewed, and I knew whether I liked them at the end of it. I knew their character. And I'll laugh at TV chat shows these days, and I don't hate them. I'm not learning anything about them. They're on to promote the film.
Yeah.
They know the questions in advance, mainly, and I like Graham Norton to be a bit cheeky, but I'm not going to really work out whether I like him.
Yeah.
I can think of three or four people have been on. I thought, actually, like Will Smith, good example, like on that, you know you want to have a drink with him.
Yeah.
But At Home for me was always about that. At the end of it, like, know the character of the person. It was interesting, Jamie Carragher had that thing recently where he spat, and it was the big thing, he spat out of his car. And I got a lot of messages from people going, that's an awful thing to do, but I listened to your interview with him, and I know he's not that person. And I love that when you can make, I don't think you can change the mass, you know, the general public's mind, but with the people that say, listen to At Home, you can certainly create a foundation of thoughts about somebody, of what makes somebody tick, whether it be Ian Wright or Dan Hardy or whatever. And I think that's it's a beautiful thing, but it does come through honesty. I can interview someone I love, but I'm going to find something that I want to, I pulled up, I pulled up Jamie Carrigan retiring from football, you know, and Jamie Carrigan's a hero to me, and I was like properly one of my favourite players of all time, and I was like, you don't quit international football, mate, it quits you, you don't stop playing. And he says, here's why, and he explained it really well, and I was like, well, agree to disagree, and I'm like, I'm warming to it now, but I still think you don't leave. I think you crawl through broken glass to represent your country. That's what I think. If you have those honest conversations, then I think that's when you get, I'm rambling a bit, but you do get moments that people can then talk to you about, you know, and they'll remember character forming, you know.
What would you say on our podcast? Was there one? Adam Fysek was brilliant. Baby Shambles, and that went in total different directions that we never expected it to.
That was one that, and Gail Porter as well. Gail just was brutally honest, wasn't she?
Yeah, she did like top five weirdest interviews, Colin, which really? Don't know if you've had many, but I mean, Gail has got just untold, from singing Night Fever with
John Travolta.
That's amazing. Yeah.
But Adam went in, like, we didn't really want to talk about Baby Shambles or anything like that, because we wanted to talk about his top five, but he took it there, didn't he? And then he just went into what it was like being in that band with Pete Docherty at that point, and that was pretty...
It's an interesting thing. So I don't do interviews. So I do. There's a guy at the Guardians interviewed me. I think my last three interviews. I don't want to be taught. I don't want ever to be the subject. I hate when I am, even if it's a positive thing. So like when I left Talk Sport, it was like, I was like, well, maybe it'll not be that big a thing. And then when people start talking about it, it was like, that's why I put one tweet out. I put out one tweet because I never want to talk about, to me, the rag doesn't exist, so I don't talk about it. And the other reason was, like, I just never want to be the story. I'm so uncomfortable being the story. But, like, I did Scroobius's podcast, they've done this. And that's it, I think. And just those interviews in The Guardian, because it's like, I hate being the story, but podcasts like this are great because you don't feel like...
It's more of a conversation,
no one,
right?
No one's going to listen to it and find a story out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we fly below the radar. I deliberately at home put anything that I think might get picked up and smeared a bit, I'll move it completely to the end. Because I actually know those people don't sit and listen to an hour and a half to get their shit.
Yeah, their attention span doesn't last that long. Yeah, that's true.
And then you can feed them some line about, you know, like, I hated playing at the 1990 World Cup, and they'll reprint that, you know. Yeah. Well,
before we finish, I want to go back a little bit just quickly to, I know you don't want to talk about yourself, but I'm going to push you on it. You spoke about 95 when you was doing the magazine and music.
Yeah, 95, 96, 97. When did Diana die? Because that's how I know exactly when I did it.
But going back before that, like, what was your kind of, aside from the, you know, your parents instilling the greats, you know, like Stones and such, and a beat, wasn't it, on you? Like, what was growing up in you know, when you was...
It was just before I was 20, there you go. Yeah.
I can remember that night as well. Got in from the club, so DJing, and put my little telly on, just because I couldn't get to sleep without the telly being on, and then all of a sudden...
Scared of the monsters.
And I was like, holy shit, what was that? And I literally, I remember, I was still living at home, I was like,
have you had Stuart Lee in this podcast?
No.
No, well, I mean, we'd love Stuart Lee.
Have you ever seen anything he does about when he went to the Gardener?
It's one of my favourite things. It's one of my favourite things of all time.
He's one of those rare comedians can do 7 minutes and you know the punchline after the first second and it's still so funny. And the one
he's
where
in
he
my
goes,
top five comedians.
Yeah.
And the one where he goes, I'll bring the blow up ET and you laugh. And then he goes, I did that at a gig once and someone shouted, actually, it was Alf. What a payoff, man. It's so good.
Yeah, but people listening, if you don't know what we're talking about, go and look at Stuart Lee and Lady Di. His sketch on Lady Di is
so funny.
Fucking amazing. So,
and not disrespectful, it's about a blow up ET being in the Garden of Remembrance, you know, when everyone left it. It's not like, sorry.
No, I just wanted to know what was going on in you know, was Irish music a massive thing for you, or was you looking over here when you was, imagine falling into, like, kind of finding out what's going on with indie music and alternative music?
I look back now and I'm so grateful that I'm not 30 and I'm 41. I'm glad I just got the last time you could discover music the way we did.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I had all my parents' stuff, which was brilliant because I never had, there was never a filter of, like, what's you should like or not like. I was never in a scene and I hold that to this day.
Yeah.
Like, I like that. When Miley Cyrus came through, like, and We Can't Stop, and I like it. I bought the fucking album. There's a lot of shit on it, but I like it. I quite like Katy Perry. Like, I don't have to just sit in the house and listen to Nick Drake all the time to be a music fan. In fact, I think people that do that are as bad as people that just listen to shit, chart R&B, the worst music of all time. But, and that's probably the only genre I don't like, chart R&B.
Yeah.
I think it's literally the only genre of music I can't find something to like in it.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. I just don't get a single bit of it. But the problem with a couple of reasons, I think, which was just growing up. So I brought up by my stepdad and grew up quickly because of all that. You kind of grew up a bit quicker than you wanted. But the troubles grew you up quicker. One of the things that if you grow up in an area that has civil war, it robs you of your childhood as well. So from an early age, you're aware of things you should never have to be aware of. And you become old quite quick. And you drink quick and you get into stuff quick and you do stuff you shouldn't do. So I was drinking really young. I lost my virginity when I was 12 and I was way drinking along before. I don't know why I started at 9 or 10 or whatever, but we grew up, we were adults. We weren't adults, we were kids, but I grew up quick. And I remember being 10 and 11 and going down the park and sneaking a quarter bottle of vodka. 11, especially 11, 12 is probably fair, about 11.
Yeah.
And we discovered music on tapes, and it was, whether it was Joey Beltram or whatever, it was the rave scene. That was the first one I remember, and too young to go, but the Ice Bowl and Dundonald had underage raves, which were boxing rings, but they were amazing. And you wouldn't, you judge music purely on do you like the tune. Like the first time I ever heard Moby was on a tape, I didn't know it was this guy who was going to sell all these records and stuff. Like, you didn't discover it in that way. You know, Dominator was just, you heard it on the rave tape. You know what I mean? And
that's definitely. Like, you used to get the, I used to love those, like, 8-pack tape cassettes.
I've
not got any at home that have got all of them in there. Because all my prick mates.
Yeah.
Because they're one of them. No, I'll definitely bring that back to you. See you later. You're never going to see that again.
Our rave tapes were sold in the dodgiest places as well. Like the same people were selling dope and sold rave tapes and fake razors and naff coats and all that, right? Naff jackets.
And
you go to get a rave tape. And I used to be the older guys. We'd look up them and they'd come down and they'd, this is a new, and we'd put the tape on and we'd have a drink. And I loved that. Like, looking back, it was hairy and stuff, but it was like, I love that memory now that I had that music scene that I discovered that way. And then at the same time, then when you got these bands coming out of it, like the Stone Roses, and that was big with us, although I was a big Blur fan early. I don't know how that happened, but Leisure, like from the very beginning, I loved Blur. I like the Stone Roses. I've grown to love the Stone Roses a lot more as I got older. But and all the shit that came with it then over the next 6 years, Menswear and Manson and all that.
I'll tell you what, we had Johnny from Menswear on.
Lovely band, love the band, as I said.
Yeah, it was, but that interview was crazy. Interview chat.
Me.
Yeah.
Best blagger of all time, maybe?
Best blagger of all time. I mean, they're from Southend, they're all Essex boys.
Yeah.
And have they done what they've done? Literally, they had no band, no songs, and just got some good-looking people together and went...
Do they admit that, then, when they talk about it?
Johnny, just not... Look, he... Because we've had loads of bands on, haven't we? And it's always interesting to hear the different stories of how people fell into music and ended up in bands. And they're always quite different.
Yeah.
But a lot of them come from a place of... Ended up having a passion for something in music and then getting good at it or one way or another. Johnny's was kind of like... We just kind of... We're doing a lot of coke. And we kind of wanted to be on the front of
went round
to
all the clubs, telling everybody they were in a band, even though they weren't.
And then it worked.
And then all of a sudden, they got a big. I can remember it as well. They Select magazine done a double page spread on like the new face of mod, and it was going to be this new thing called mod, like the new genre, the new whatever, the second coming of mod or the third coming, I suppose it would have been by then. And I remember seeing like Johnny and like some other people that used to sort of go to the same clubs as me. And he said, we had no songs. They printed that we was in a band called Menswear. He said, we literally had nothing. And then all the record companies were saying, when are you going to play? And they just booked this venue. And they had... He wrote Daydreamer, like, himself when he was a student, hadn't he? But he couldn't play an instrument.
Yeah.
Just had the words. And I think Chris had a little guitar line. They played, like, three songs. And they played,
had three songs
one
for the
twice,
whole gig.
Didn't they?
Yeah,
and then there was just a bidding war went
for them. They played Belfast, so I'll give them credit. Loads of bands didn't. That was another thing you missed out on, right? So the Troubles. Primal Scream always played, Stone Roses played, Oasis played. I don't think I might be wrong, but I don't think you two ever played during the Troubles in Northern Ireland.
Really?
They may have. You have to look it up. Yeah, I certainly never remember you two playing until after.
What were the big Irish bands at that point?
The thing, to finish that, right, so Britpop came through, or we didn't call it Britpop. Like, Britpop, to me, is like Roll With It era. Okay. It was just baggy, wasn't it? But then, it's funny, like, you're South End, were you?
Basildon.
Right, so you're a bit different, you see, because you were connected to a big area where maybe scenes happened. We pretended scenes. Like, so you weren't, you didn't, it's not like here if you go out right outside this door and people are so fitted into a scene and they wear the right things and, you know. Because we were into Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Ice Cube, NWA. That was a huge record for us. Straight Outta Compton was huge. And it always sounded... Really hate saying it, and I hear myself saying it and think wanker. But when you grow up in an area that doesn't have much, it can relate to you, even though it's not your scene and it's not your thing that's happening.
Definitely.
It fits into the same thing. And those albums were huge, and it was like any stoner music. So like, you know, Cypress Hill, NWA.
Cypress Hill was like my first
band
that I ever really fell in love with. And oh man, but like you say, like I had no way to relate to that. I was listening to songs like Hits from the Bong, and I'm like, this is great. I didn't know what a fucking bong was.
Yeah, exactly.
I genuinely didn't know what a bong was.
It was brilliant. And it was a time, I remember the Failing 94 Festival, Trip to Tip, first festival I ever went to. So I don't know what age it was then. It would have been 94, so I think it just turned 17. Well, I got out of the car, Delamitri were playing. It was one stage at a Gaelic stadium, Semple Stadium. One stage, 60-odd, 70,000 people sold out. one stage. None of this genre festival bollocks now. In 2 days in that stage, I saw Delamitri, as I got there, always the last to know, what a tune. Bjork, Prodigy, Cypress Hill,
fucking
Crowded
hell.
House, Rage Against the Machine, Blur, The Saw Doctors. I could go on. Like, ridiculous bill. Rage Against the Machine, then Crowded House. Back to back. Back to back.
Who was best?
We went, hard to say, we went mental. Me and my mate Scott, Rage Against the Machine, went mental. That was our number one of the whole weekend we were waiting on. Went mental, we were amazing. And we then were like 100 yards back for Crowded. Everyone was like this, watching Crowded House, singing every word. I remember me and Scott pissing in a pint glass. That's all I remember about it. I love both. It was brilliant. I loved festivals to go back to that. And I never will, but go back to that. Just have all the bands on. Boomtown Rats played that weekend. Who else played that weekend? It was just such a weird bill, but it was amazing.
Yeah.
And so the music I was growing up to, I remember more like what albums did to me. Like first time I heard Straight Outta Compton, first time I heard Definitely Maybe, first time I heard 10 by Pearl Jam, first time I heard Doolittle by the Pixies, retrospectively, because I got into them after getting into grunge. And then there's this Scottish guy called Journey. He's like, you need to listen to Tom Waits, you need to listen to Pixies. And that was it.
I'll tell you what, you talk about crowd singing something. And I should, I did have it on my phone, because it's one of the things I can't delete from my phone. And I saw Pearl Jam at Hyde Park 5-6 years ago. Again, just got the green light, went with all my old pals, and just got on it all day, and it was fucking ace. And that line at the end of 10, at the end of Black, I know someday you have a beautiful life in someone else's sky, and then the whole crowd were just going do-do-do-do-do-do-do as the sun was coming down, and it was like, this is amazing. Special, this is. And
can I throw in a really random nerdy thing?
Go for it.
There's a Pearl Jam on a tribute album for Victoria Williams, and they do the Crazy Mary, not that one. She lived on a curve in the road.
Yep.
You gotta get this. It's just a tribute album. It's kind of a bit like Temple of the Dog, really. When someone says like Pearl Jam, you go, have you heard Temple of the Dog?
Yeah.
You gotta listen to this track they do, a cover of Crazy Mary. It's so good.
Did you ever hear their cover of Beatles, Hide Your Love Away?
No.
It was for a soundtrack, a Sean Penn film called I Am Sam, one of them, and the whole soundtrack is just Beatles songs covered by it. And Ben Folds does Golden Slumbers.
Yeah.
Fuck me. Oh.
Does a good cover, Ben Folds.
Yeah, yeah. You don't use Jelly.
Oh, yeah, I've got that.
Yeah.
Ben Folds 5, Made Big by TFI Friday. It was the last show that rocked that show.
Everyone
was watching it, and he booked Ben Folds 5 because he loved him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he went on and he did, give me my money back, you bitch. And that was it. Everybody got into Ben Folds 5 went from nothing to that. One of a few examples of a show like that, like properly breaking a band.
Yeah, Ben Folds 5 were decent. Yeah. But TGI's was decent. I used to really quite enjoy that. They did another one.
They brought
recently,
it back recently.
But I watched an episode, it's pretty cool, but it obviously didn't get...
It was just
hard to relive that.
It was a brilliant moment, and I'm saying that as a 45-year-old man, but before you went out on a Friday night when you was having your fish fingers, chips and beans, you got to see the bands you liked play live, and whatever films were coming out, you got to see the people that were in them, kind of not in that Parkinson-style interview. It was like, they were having a beer on telly.
They were having a beer because all the crowd was in the room.
Yeah, it felt a bit decadent, I think.
You want the most random sports connection to TFI Friday?
Yeah, go for it.
There was a guy, you know, we used to have people come on that did weird things?
Yeah.
There was quite famously a guy that came on, a student who could turn his stomach into an elephant.
Yep, I remember.
Right? That is Rob Walker, the snooker MC, the Olympic commentator, darts presenter, Rob Walker, the BBC presenter. That's him when he was
elephant.
A student.
He's the elephant
and to this
guy.
Day, he can still turn his stomach into an elephant, and he hates it when I mention it. Google it, Rob Walker.
What a perfect place to finish,
I really enjoyed that. Thanks for having me.
Mate, I'll tell you what.
I think I feel like I come with a different listener. You know, I'd choose a better subject. I feel like all our best conversations were outside of my list.
What we like about this is that we never know where the conversation's going to go.
Yeah.
But sometimes we will stick strictly on a subject. Yeah. Other times we don't.
Yeah.
And I think that's the beauty of it, because there's no agenda. So there's no really pre-prepared sort of questions that we really have or anything like that. Chats like this. Well, we've got... Do you want one more before we go?
Yeah.
John Carew. He likes a lap dance or two. He might even pay for you, John Karukaru.
We had John Horner, reset. I want to know, will you score my goal? Or something like, will you score a goal? Whatever. But he got in trouble for texting women, like when he was married, something. And they started singing, John Horner, reset. I want to know, did you text my bird? Which is not a suitable word, by the way. I'm just telling you what the song was. And one of my, Emil Heskey, when he joined Birmingham, he kind of had a dip in form and they went to Birmingham and played quite decent. And they, his own fans used to sing to him, there's only one Emil Heskey. He used to be shite, but now he's all right. Walking in a Heskey one. I was thinking, if he's hearing that, it ain't doing anything for him. It ain't doing anything for him here.
Oh, brilliant. Well, Colin, thanks so much. When we put this out, I hope you don't mind us mentioning you like on the tweets and stuff like that.
Yeah, copy me and I'll retweet
it. Cool, it'd be cool to hear other people's sort of like contributions.
Top five ideas, yeah.
See what the listeners are saying. And yeah, mate, thanks so much for coming on.
Anytime.
Lovely.
Thanks for having me.
There you have it, Colin Murray. All killer, no filler there. That's what happens when you chat to people that are off the radio and the telly. They know their shit. And yeah, no exception there. It was lovely chatting to Colin. Absolute gentleman. Went out of his way to get Dan after an interesting afternoon in Anna with his sis. So thanks again, Colin, for doing that. Thank you ever so much for listening. Listening to the listing. Try saying that with a lisp. Jesus Christ. See you again next week. If you want some more hardcore listing, well, there's plenty in the back catalogue if you're new to it. So have a little route around in there. If you like your radio presenters, we've done a few of those as well. Go and have a little listen to some of those. Jordan Gray, John Kennedy. God, I'm sure I'm missing more. Rowena Alice. They're all on the back catalogue. And there's a whole stack of podcasts on our Patreon page. So I should point out that each week on Patreon, we put out another hardcore listing. Top five, which is chosen by the Patreons. So if you like the lists and you like Chris and I chatting waffle, then there's probably a good 10-15 podcasts over there. Go over there, chuck a couple of quid in the tin, and you've got hours and hours of waffle from me and Chris. So that's patreon.com/hardcore listing. Right, thanks again, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.